I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. If you have your Bible open to Luke chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 21 in Luke chapter 2. I'm concluding this series of messages on famous babies in the Bible. And of course, I imagine when we started, most everyone would assume that we would conclude these famous babies with baby Jesus. And that's where we are on this day. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like for you to mark this expression in the 34th verse of this second chapter. This child. Behold, this child. Many of you have expressed favorites to me as we've been through this series. You've talked to me about certain babies that were favorites to you. I hope every message has come to our hearts to make us think of our responsibility to God, and especially to parents, as parents think about their babies and what God deserves of us and from our children. But what can we say about this child? This amazing child. This child truly different from every other child that ever came to earth. The only child that ever arrived the way this child arrived. What shall we say of this child? We can begin, but where do we begin? He had no beginning. He did not begin in Bethlehem. He had no beginning. The Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word. When we recognize a beginning to this earth, he was already here. He's eternally present. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He declares of himself, everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God became a man without ceasing to be God. He chose this way to come to earth. God wanted us to know him. And the only way we know him is through this one, Jesus. The Lord Jesus, during his time on earth, actually said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we look not just at a baby. Oh, we rejoice that a baby came. Angels came to announce and sing. Shepherds came to worship and adore. Wise men traveled from the east to bring their gifts and to recognize the Son of God. No man would ever speak like this man, teach like this man, preach like this man. No one would ever really pray like this man. All God and all man. When we study his life, there's no way to really discover where the deity begins and the humanity ends, or the humanity begins and the deity ends, because there is no beginning and end. He is perfectly human and altogether lovely and perfectly God. He is the God-man. One title for him is Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. Every other baby born in the whole wide world can find significance because this child was born. How do you speak about him? When I talked about other babies born in the world and famous babies of the Bible, I could find an easy beginning and some conclusive things to say about each of their lives. But I must readily admit this is the most difficult baby to deal with. There's so much to say. Hold your place here with me just for a moment and turn with me to the gospel according to John, the last chapter and the last verse. This is what God says about him. In the last chapter and the last verse. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So this child, baby Jesus, the Bible gives us a summary, somewhat of a summary, at least the things God wants us to know concerning his life, in the book of Colossians. Would you like to turn there, please? Speaking of him in chapter 1, the Bible tells us, beginning with verse 12, you may want to note these things that God calls to our attention concerning Jesus. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This is what he did for us. He made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. It also says he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Bible declares in verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1, who is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. God gloriously declares in verse 16, by him were all things created. What a baby. Created there in heaven and there in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. The Bible tells us in verse 17, he is before all things. And the Word of God declares in that same verse, by him all things consist or are held together. Everything would be falling apart, including you and me, if it were not for him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Among all things and all people, he must be the one and only. The Word of God tells us in verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In the second chapter, in verse 3, the Bible says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Can you imagine that? And the Word of God says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, a That's the only way we can have peace. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. He's the reconciler. God help us. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And on we go. This child, everything in human history points to the moment of his birth. Every prophecy in the Old Testament concerning the Christ and his coming to earth is fulfilled with this child. This child. We live in his influence. We exist by his life. He came to us. The Bible tells us so many things about him. His life, sinless life. His death, he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down to myself. The only person who ever lived that way. He chose the very moment to dismiss his spirit. You couldn't kill him unless he yielded himself. He'd still be there on the cross had not he dismissed his spirit. He is the God-man. He is our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we discover him as a child in a lowly manger with poor parents born in Bethlehem. Let's return to Luke chapter 2 for a moment. And I want us to consider Joseph and Mary and this child. God chose a family for which this child would be brought into the world. God chose a virgin among all women for this child to come into this world. She brought forth what God sent forth into the world. It is an amazing story. To the unbeliever, it is unbelievable. But to the believer who knows with God nothing is impossible, we believe it. He was the only one ever born of a virgin. But he was virgin born. If you ask Joseph, Joseph says, the angel announced to me that Mary was expecting a baby. And the angel announced to me, Joseph would say, that his name would be called Jesus. Mary would say, the angel announced to me that I was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And I would give birth, though I'd never known a man, in a way in which women conceive. And I knew that. God knew that. Joseph was convinced of that by the angel. But this child was sent from God. Can you imagine in the mind of God, God would come to earth to dwell among us, the Bible says, to dwell among us, to live among us. And this child came as a man to dwell among us. In the words I read a moment ago in verse 21 and following of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child. The circumcision. The law, the Jewish law, declared that on the 8th day, the male was to be circumcised. So they obeyed the law with this child. They submitted themselves to God and God's commands with this child. They were already obedient people. And notice the Bible says, on the 8th day, he was taken to be circumcised. And his name was called Jesus. That's when he got his name, on the day of his circumcision. Mary and Joseph and this child, which was so named of the angel. They didn't come up with a name. Parents spend lots of time, most of the time, trying to decide what they're going to name their babies. I got a call or a text in the wee hours of the morning just today to tell me that Juliana and Derek had had their new baby. baby girl, and they named her Harper. Harper. After the famous John Harper, who was the John Harper of the Titanic, the John Harper who was an evangelist on his way to Chicago to preach at the Moody Church, the John Harper who was the soul winner at the sinking of the Titanic, the John Harper who was out in the water, who decided to give his 9-year-old daughter to someone for safekeeping and try to win as many people to Christ as he could before they went down. The John Harper who encouraged people on the Titanic, if they were saved, to stay on board and let the unsaved be saved from the water so they might be saved from hell by hearing the gospel. John Harper. I've read the testimony of the last man led to Christ by John Harper, floating on a piece of something drifting in the ocean, and John Harper screaming out, "Are you saved?" And the man saying, "No." And John Harper screaming out, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And I think Derek and Juliana did well naming their baby Harper. That's the name they chose. But Mary and Joseph had nothing to do with choosing this baby's name. God sent an angel, so they said. Imagine this kind of story. Where did he get his name? An angel told us what to name him. That's what the Bible says. The Bible also says, was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Conceived. We know enough, I think, about conception to know that life begins with conception. And God has fearfully and wonderfully designed the human body so that we have a reproductive cell in our bodies that offers 23 chromosomes from the woman and 23 chromosomes from the man, and egg and sperm unite, and there's conception. Life, a human being, develops in the womb. But God tells us here that he got his name before conception, and there was no man involved in his conception. The Word of God explains to us, and of course, Mary and Joseph knew this because they were told by the Lord that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. This is a great mystery for all of us, but one that we believe. This child different from all of the children. Oh, may God guide us and help our thinking. Verse 22, the Bible says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, that means she had 40 days to stay away, almost in a sense to be isolated in this way, and then to present the baby to the Lord. So on the 41st day, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, other things could have been offered for sacrifice, but for the poor, these exceptions were made. And these were poor people, very poor people. But I want you to notice, Mom and Dad, that in every detail, they obeyed the Lord with this child. And you and I need to stop for a moment and think, when God gives us a baby, in every detail we know, we should be obedient to the Lord. When you begin to think about what you're going to do for your son or your daughter, what you're going to have for your son or your daughter, what you would desire for your son or your daughter, the thing at the top of the list, the top of the list should be God's will be done. At the top of the list. And this should be so prevalent in the life of a parent that's obvious to the child that this is the foremost concern of every mother and father. That this child know that mom and dad have obeyed the Lord in every area. And our chief desire is for this child to obey the Lord in every area of his or her life. I can just imagine them coming to Jerusalem and walking into the temple area. They're announcing to someone why they're there. I don't know if they told the whole story, part of the story, every detail, or just a few of the details, but can you imagine someone hearing this story? And they must have thought, this is some kind of wild tale. An angel came to Joseph and told him the woman that he's betrothed to, that he's going to marry, is already expecting a baby, but it's not his baby, it's not any other man's baby. This is a baby that came from God. Where'd you get his name? They're going to ask you his name. Well, he got his name from an angel. Are you listening to their story? And there they are, coming in with this child. This child. I stagger sometimes in my thinking just to imagine all the detail that went in. Everything that happened exactly the way God wanted it to happen. Sometimes we wonder about human choice. We have it. And our free will, we have it. There's no doubt about it. And then we turn around sometimes to recognize and see the hand of God and God's choices in harmony with our choices. It seems impossible in the beginning, but God works all these things out. The Bible says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think the most fascinating thing in life, and when a preacher says something like that, perk your ears up, the most fascinating thing in life is that God has taken a personal interest in each of us. He has. God has taken a personal interest in each of us, in your life, my life, and the life of your son and your daughter, your grandchildren. So let's don't run wild in the world just thinking it's all up to us and our choices and we're going to make it happen and get it done and push it through and force it on. No. Let's learn to live by faith and do our best and ask God to give us the faith to see his hand at work in the lives of those we love and in our own lives. Oh, there's so much more I'd like to say here. But I want you just to grasp the testimony of Mary and Joseph and this child. Now I want us to look at Simeon and this child. Simeon is an amazing man. He's amazing. Verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." What a mind full of things here. Let's break them down just a minute. His name is Simeon. He's in Jerusalem. He's in the temple area. He watches as everyone brings their child to be dedicated to the Lord. I think he is intent about it. He's passionate about it. No one escapes his vision because something has happened. He has studied God's word. He has 39 books of the Bible. The law, the prophets, the writings. He's given himself, perhaps all his life, given himself to knowing what the Word of God says about the coming Messiah. He knows that God prophesied that he's going to send a Savior. He knows the Scriptures about what God said about bruising his heel and bruising the serpent's head. The first promise of a Savior in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He knows each of the prophecies concerning the virgin birth of Christ and where he'll be born. He understands these things. Some have suggested that he figured out so many things about the years and then to top it all off, God said it's going to happen in your lifetime. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now let's look at Simeon and this child. What happens? He's devout. He's just. He's a believer. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he knows God and fellowships with God. And God speaks to him. And God said to him, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's been revealed to him. How'd you like to live that way? You and I should live every day of our lives with the fact that we could see Jesus Christ at any moment. That's where we're to live. That is a purifying thing. That is the most dynamic thing in a Christian's life. Nothing adds to the quality of the Christian life more than looking for and loving the return of the Lord Jesus. He's coming again. And if we know the scriptures, we know what the Word of God says, we know things we're reading about, though you may say and I may say there are no certain signs for his coming, but many things we know that will happen immediately after his coming, I think we can begin to see some of those things overshadowing even in our time while the world is getting ready and the stage is being built and set for the Antichrist, and we have a sense in our minds, an anticipation, a readiness in our thinking that he is coming again. Surely he's coming again, and we believe it to be soon. Now here this man was, knowing in his lifetime that he would lay his eyes upon the Lord's Christ. So he watches. And one day he sees this poor couple from Galilee come in to dedicate their child. Now he has said many times, could this be the one? Could this be the one? Could this be the one? But notice what happens. And the Bible says in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, what happens? There they are, Mary and Joseph, with baby Jesus. He'd been circumcised in 8 days. Now, on the 41st day, he's come to be dedicated. There they are with him in arms. And all of a sudden, this man Simeon sweeps him up out of their arms. He took him up in his arms and blessed God. I think he shouted. I think all eyes turned toward him. His excitement had to be noticed by all. It couldn't be covered. The Bible says he blessed God, and listen carefully, he blessed God and said, Lord, now let us, thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That's what Simeon said. Now this baby is not like any other baby. Don't belittle the Lord Jesus. There's no other baby ever came to earth like this baby. The Word of God says this is the Lord's Christ in verse 26. The Bible tells us this child Jesus is the Lord's salvation. That's what God's Word says. Simeon is declaring this. And when he goes home, everything he anticipated, everything he prayed for, everything he was told by God about seeing him in his lifetime has now been satisfied. And he literally says, I'm ready to die and depart in peace because I've known the Lord. And Simeon to us would say, you're not ready to die and live and depart in peace until you come to know the Lord. Do you know him? Have you met Jesus? Not about him. I could give some sort of a biographical sermon and talk about all the things. I could gather up from the scriptures and say, here are all the things about him, but this is not a biographical sermon. And you could live a biographical Christian life about him and say, these are all the things I've memorized and know about Jesus, but do you know him? Do you know him? Oh, dear God, do you know him? Don't live and die without knowing him. Don't depart this life without knowing him. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's prophecy. That's how I came to Christ. I'm not a Jew, I'm a Gentile, but he's lightened this Gentile. And the glory of thy people Israel is their rightful king. Now he came into his own, and his own, the Jews, received him not, but he's coming again someday to sit upon the throne of his father David, which was only an earthly throne. He will sit on a heavenly throne, but he will rule and reign on an earthly throne, and they'll recognize him. And we shall sing when we see him sitting on an earthly throne. Look at him. He still bears the wounds. Look at him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. With the stripes we healed, we'll sing that song. And the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled, well, I'd imagine, at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother. Now, he actually sees the Christ child, but he also sees the couple to whom God has entrusted his son, and the mother who was prepared to bring this child into the world. And he blessed them. And behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. All this old system is going to fall. All of this seeking for perfection is going to be destroyed. And this new covenant will rise. And for a sign which be spoken against. And he says to Mary, notice the parenthetical statement here, as if while he's preaching about these things concerning Christ, he says in this context, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. She held this baby in her arms like any mother. But he says, this baby will bring a sword. She will stand at the cross when Christ bleeds and dies for our sins. And she will not stand there screaming, bewailing all of this that's happening, the blood, the nails, the thorns. God will give her a grace and peace that no mother could have, because she knows that no man had anything to do with this child. And she can stand there beneath the cross and let him suffer and bleed and die, even as a mother. If what the critics say, the unbelievers say, she would have had to say, I know who your father is. I can tell you his name. Bring him down. I'll tell him the truth. But there was no such thing to say, because this is the Son of God. And God pierced her heart, her soul with a sword as she watched him die, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So this is Simeon and this child. But let me just give one comment about the Lord Jesus Christ and this child. I want you to turn, I could turn to many verses, but just one for time's sake. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he declares, the Lord Jesus Christ declares about the coming of this child. In Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come, born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger, is come, lived a sinless life, is come, goes to the cross to bleed and die, is come, buried in a borrowed tomb, up from the grave he arose on the third day, 40 days with his disciples and ascended to heaven, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You can't separate this baby Jesus from the Lord Jesus bleeding and dying on the cross for our sin. And as he, our Lord, comments on this child born in Bethlehem, he says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. No other Savior, though some may have claimed to be, no other Savior ever came to earth that could save us. Many deliverers, many noble men and women, many people with great deeds, but only the sinless Son of God could pay our sin debt. And praise God, he paid it all in full. He said, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do in John chapter 17. And on the cross, he cried out, not I'm finished, but it's finished. The reason the baby came, lived and died, is finished. It's finished. You and I need to stand in amazement and awe, because we don't separate the cradle from the cross. When we think about this most famous baby in the Bible, our hearts are moved, because God did all of this for us. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together, may we?